All right, Beeler, we're live.
Why is it every time you start off, it sounds like you're like...
No. Let's not say that. Why every time I do that, you got to state that I'm overmodulated? I think that's your Tourette's.
No, because it's a fact, and I don't want the people who, you know, the 3.2 billion people that listen to this podcast to be turned off because you're overmodulated. I think you need to get, like, some of those... Either let the microphone warm up or get some of those, like, soundproof things, like, in your room. You know, like, those little, like, foam things with the little, like, triangles sticking out to, like, absorb the echo.
I'll be sure to put my office and I'll put some eggshells up there. I'll get right on that, Bilo, for you. Don't worry about it. You're the only one actually pretty about that.
I'm pretty happy that...
You come very overmodulated, too. You get close to the mic sometimes and your voice goes off the charts, just so you know, for being nitpicky.
No, because when I listen to it, I think it sounds beautiful.
All right, before we even get into the shriek, that's the segment we get to Snapchat, I got to point out a couple things for the listening audience at home. I'm here at home, fully clothed, and I'm looking at Bilo with his shirt off, headphones on, hat on his head, and a fucking kitten towel behind him. So, Bilo, can you explain what I'm have to look at right now? So just so you all know, Bilo and I do not rehearse this podcast. Our goal is, my goal, like T-Blog and the podcast, is to be raw and authentic. We do have some segments we want to get to, and you know, but we don't do any, there's no rehearsing of this podcast. I want as natural as possible. So I had no idea what the fuck I was going to see once this camera turned on. So what am I looking at, Bilo?
First of all, it's 85 degrees out. I'm a little warm. And
you don't have central air? In that country you live in?
I do have central air in this country, and I'm just a little warm. And I have the kitten. It's not a kitten towel. It's a kitten apron. I put it because on the back of my chair because I don't want any – if I were to sweat, I don't want the sweat to get onto my chair. And look at me. I'm a specimen. I've been leaning up. Look at that. Do you have those?
Yeah, I have traps, Bilo, but I'm not about to stop flexing for you. But let's just get into this for a second here. Because people may not know what this podcast is about. If we did video, like, again, we don't reveal our faces. If I put this on a YouTube channel, people would think this is probably a homosexual podcast if they could see this happening right now. So,
dude, there's nothing wrong with me sitting here without a shirt.
No, it's not. It's not just we without a shirt. Now, I'm very comfortable in my masculinity. I know you are too. You have no shirt on, with a hat, headphones, and fucking two kittens behind you staring at me on an apron.
And this is some
weird shit. We're both cat lovers. We both. There we go. See, we're talking about being cat lovers and being like with our shirts off. This podcast can be taken way out of context if people don't know fucking who we really were.
And the cat loving pizza too.
I had to share that with everyone because this is a vision. This is a sight right now.
Listen, you know, not to.
Hey, you know what, Bilo? Can you do a T-Blog pose with that hat on, and maybe like do a screenshot, and maybe we could get that on your Instagram that you never created? This way, we don't give anything.
I can do it. Yeah, you know what? I'll do the screenshot afterwards because then I can see it because I'm not so small, and I'll do the T-Blog, and everybody can see my definition because I've been leaning up. I don't know if you can tell. My body sat down.
I don't look at you like that. You got to do it just like that, though. Right where you are in that position, and then share it with me. We'll both put it in our stories, and you can launch your Instagram this Thursday. This Tuesday. The podcast is going up Tuesday, June 25th. So you have to have your Instagram up and running. This is when we're up here. Everybody's hearing this. I want that shit on there from the T-Blog post. Thank you, Bilo. God bless you. Anyway, let's enter the streak. As you all know, as Bilo pulls that up, what we do here on the T-Podcast, every time Bilo and I check in, have a little conversation with all of you, we have a Snapchat streak. We started this because our first streak of a year ago was 404 days, and they fucked us. So Bilo and I are out for revenge. We're out there trying to fucking come back and basically tell Snapchat, well, I don't know what we're going to do, Bilo, when we get to 405, but I think we'll have a victory. We'll have a celebration on this show. But let the listening audience know.
Well, hopefully by the time we get to 405 days, we'll have some sort of video thing going. And you can, you know, if you don't want to show your face because, you know, of whatever reason, then your face can be out and we can do it with no shirts on.
We totally could do that. That we'll get fucking very, very gay with each other on that podcast.
No, I don't want to do that. Now, okay, well, we'll do the snap streak, and then we can get into some other things. I do have some questions, and I know you have a full lineup for us this week because I don't have anything prepared. However, I have been writing down topics for us to speak about next week.
Okay.
So This week will be, we'll alternate weeks, I think, because I am the co-host. I do have a say in what we talk about, but I think we'll have our segment every week. One of us will have the topics, and I have some topics for next week. I'm building a...
Thank you. I am the host. You're the co-host. Thank you for your input. We'll take it under consideration. I'll give it back to my staff to think about. In the meantime, can you give us the street count?
But I think you should poll the audience to see why they listen. Do they listen to hear me or do they listen to hear you?
When you get your Instagram up running, we'll start doing polls in our stories. You can do polls in the stories. We'll do that for sure.
I will, as we are speaking, create the Instagram account. And then I can give it out to the world and people can follow it. And I'm going to take that Instagram account with me on adventures because I have a lot of adventures planned over the next week.
Yes, there'll
be. I had some funny adventures this weekend to talk about. So, not this weekend, excuse me. I have some funny adventures to talk about.
In upcoming podcasts, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be bringing an introspective on B-Lo's life. And we'll get into that in a few more weeks.
Yes, thank you. So right now we have 171 days. 171 day flames.
And let the listen audience know when we started that.
That was December 25th, 2018. Christmas Day, you decided to give me the gift of speaking to me every day. As you're sitting here now mouthing and counting on your fingers how long ago that was.
It's we're recording on June 23rd, even though this is going up June 25th. So it was almost, should be 178 days. We're still a week behind, according to them.
Well, that's 8 weeks. So how many weeks has it been? Usually we miss a day a week. I think you missed one.
No, Bill, hello. It's been almost 6 months. And take out the 2 days. So 30 times six is 180. Take out the two, say 178. Give or take a 30-month.
Divided by four, round it up to the nearest whole number, and then you take the.
Yeah, it's still their math. They still fucked us 7.5 days.
It is. It's bizarre because we do this every day, and we have been good in doing it multiple times a day. So much that we both have the red heart.
This is a good segue into our other segment. B-Lo and I are given a name because we talk about our take as two men. Two masculine men, even though B-Lo looks different today. But I'm just saying, we have.
What do you mean I look different? I look masculine today.
No, it's not. You look very effeminate today. I like to say that B-Lo and I, as two men who have a lot to talk about the world and dating, in particular relationships, love won, love lost. We are now introducing. We're naming that segment. B-Lo came up with this. I'll give him that credit. It is called Strictly Dickly. And that's going to be the segment we are now introducing to the Tea Podcast because everybody's like, you guys got a lot to fucking say about dating, this and that, when I was going on my dating adventures. So, again, it's not like we have to be personal about what's going on in our dating lives. We could say in our age, in our 40s, that all our past dating and experiences and from our friends and family, we talk about that. Like Biggie Smalls once said, the shit he was rapping about wasn't about just the stuff that he was going through. It's the shit he saw around him. Shit in his hood, shit from his friends and families. So Strictly Dickly is going to be from the point of view of two men, all things related to romance and dating and all that shit. Right, B-Lo?
From a guy's perspective.
Hence
and
the dicks.
I think what's good about this is you can give the perspective of a city boy in a top nation, and I can give the perspective of a city boy, country in a third world nation, because I have seen some things recently, and I'll hold off on those because I think I have to go to therapy on it up here that make me question my
sexuality
decisions to move to this country. So everybody who wants to like have the U.S. become a third world country, come visit my country. And
which I have yet to do. I have yet to visit your country.
I know. Here it is June. I think you need to come up and visit my country. There's a couple, you know, we have some little local country, you know, you can take in
Well, I'll come up there. Hold on. Why I went into this segment, because it tied directly into our first segment, the Snapchat streak.
Well, I want you to take in the local culture. That's all. That's all I wanted to say.
I'll absolutely do that. We talked about the podcast. I'm going to come up there at some point. Here's something I'd ask you. This something's been popping in my mind as of late. How do you feel? Now, let me propose the question, and then I'll give you give your take, then I'll give my take. How do you feel about, like, Snapchat, any type of social media, texting? How do you feel about notifications popping up? Because you and I both have iPhones and the watch, right? So I don't want to have anything.
I no longer have the watch.
Okay. But I don't, why? I can't. All right, we'll get to that in a second. I think anytime, like, your phone pops up, right? There's a couple ways you can set your notifications. You could set them up that, oh, you got a Facebook notification, doesn't say from who. A Snapchat notification, doesn't say from who. Or you could set up your phone and your watch to say you have a Snapchat from Belo, or you have a Facebook update from your aunt fucking Edna. You could see who it's from. Now, a lot of people, when they start dating, right, they don't keep their stuff face up on their phone, or they change the notifications because they don't want you to be like, oh, who the fuck is Billy? They don't want you to be questioned. Or maybe a girl asks me, who the fuck is Lisa? Or fucking, who the fuck is Mary? Or who the fuck is this person, right? How do you feel about notifications in your phone? And do you think it's important to just get it all out there? Like, look, this is my boy texting me. This is my niece snapping me. Or do you feel like you should shift your notifications just so you don't have to have any of those uncomfortable conversations too soon in, like, the dating stage? How do you feel about notifications coming through when you're with
somebody? I think a couple things on that, to be honest with you. First of all, I don't use Facebook. I only use it for the events. And when I go on Facebook, that's the only thing I look at. And it's actually come into play because I've spoken to some people, like, this weekend. I ran into some people when I was out. And they're like, oh, well, I can Facebook friend you. And I'm not even going to get into that story. We'll talk about it later. But I think notifications... When I'm out, I believe that you shouldn't be using your phone anyway.
I agree.
So I think your phone should be away. And I don't think you should have notifications turned on. Like, no, when I say turned on, like, you know, audible. So I think you should only use your phone when you're out if it's part of the conversation. Like, you want to look something up, like a definition, you know, how sometimes we're talking, I'll do a search or something like that. So if it's something that's relevant for the conversation, you should. Now, depending upon what state you are in the relationship, I think the reaction to the notifications, if your phone is face up. So let's take it out of the setting where you're out with somebody, because that's dating or not dating. I don't think you should use your phone unless it's relevant for the conversation. And I've been more conscientious of that now, and I have been not been using it. The only thing is, if there's certain people that are important in your life and you have, like, a special notification, now you can put separate alerts for them. Yeah. I have those for some people, and those, if I notice that alert, right, because you can have different vibration and different stuff like that, I will take my phone out because it's important. That's more important in my life than anything. But if you have your phone laying around or something, I feel that you shouldn't hide anything, period, across the board. I don't think at any point in a relationship you have anything to hide. If you feel that you need to hide, like, text messages coming in, notifications, I don't care who they're from, right? It's a sign of deceit and dishonesty. And it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't matter what it is. If you don't want someone to read the messages because you want to have a sense of privacy, I'm not trying to say hide it because, you know, you don't want your, if you're talking about significant others to see it, but maybe, like, notifications, because, again, if your phone's lying around or laying around on your desk at work, your notification pops up, you know, and, like, if you and I are dating and I say, oh, you have a nice ass, like, you don't want a coworker to see that. So just know how you're going to hide it where it's just the name. That's fine. But I think, when you're in a relationship, I do not think there should be any hiding of those messages. If you are early on in the relationship, or, like, you know, when you, when we get into the strictly dickly, we'll find out what's going on with you, because you and I haven't spoken about it in a couple weeks now, which is kind of odd. But what I was going to say is, if you're early on in a relationship and someone sees those messages, who really cares? Because, like, if you met on a dating app, for example, you know, that dating app stuff is, like, you know, it's like the wild, wild west where everybody's talking to everybody. And it's known that everybody's talking to everybody. So who cares if you're getting these text messages? But once you get into a solid relationship, you know, to lead to the thing is, I don't think you should hide anything, even if a girl texts you, if you're a guy, if you're a girl, a guy texts you, because it may be a harmless thing. But if you have to feel like you have to start hiding something, it's going to build up resentment and tension in a relationship. So to answer your question, I don't think the notification should be hidden because you want to hide it from somebody, because that just will say a lot about your personality. And if someone is going to be texting you something other than, you know me, I'm like one of those very, like, committed type guys. Like, once you're in a relationship, you know, I'm, like, all focused on that, just because I'm old school. So, you know, somebody shouldn't be texting you certain inappropriate things, right? Yeah. And if somebody does text you something inappropriate, because I have had situations like this, it's not necessarily, it's something, you know, I'm a firm believer, it's not your fault sometimes, right? If you if you draw it in so that like a woman will send you, you know, something inappropriate, for example, right? You're to blame. But if I were to just sit here randomly and out of the clear blue, some woman would send me something, it's not my fault. You can't get mad at me for that, right? You can only get mad at me if I pursued it. But it's the reaction to it. Hold
on. Stay on that. Stay on that.
It's
right there.
It's the reaction to it. I'm going to stay on it. It's the reaction to the message that you get that's important to me. Right. And if you say, oh, my God, you know, this woman sent me these things, you know, I didn't solicit it or something. Like, I'm into that, like, open dialogue type stuff. Just but so that because if someone like, sees it,
so it Snapchat, can cause a problem. Text aside, Snapchat has a reputation. You and I use it for our streak to go back and forth, right? Honest to God, anytime I'm out, doesn't matter if I'm with a girl or with whoever, throughout the day, 99% of my Snapchats are from you. And, you know, I'll occasionally get something for, like, my niece going back and forth. Like, I'm not using it the way – that's why I got the red hot. I'm not using it the way a lot of people do, right? But here's my thing. And this is how things can be taken out of context. What if you're with somebody, you're on a date, let's just say, now again, hypothetically speaking, you're on a date, I'm on a date, right? All of a sudden, your lady friend or whoever I'm with posts something on Snapchat, whether it's a picture of where we were, maybe it's the piece of food we're eating, or maybe it's just a little selfie, right? You assume people are going to react to that. Now, you and I aren't big on the story postings. We'll do some occasional stuff. We more like send stuff. So people react. Like sometimes all of a sudden that goes up and all of a sudden you see their phone. Or maybe I didn't. They see my phone. All of a sudden you see Snapchat alert, Snapchat alert, Snapchat alert. Now, is that like making you – would that ever make you think like, all right, maybe these are girlfriends responding to her. Or maybe it's some dude saying – hey, girl, you're looking good tonight. Like, regardless of the stage of the relationship. Like, for Snapchat, it could be something that you just out and randomly. I'll get a thing to go off. And mine will say your name, so I know it's from you. I know it's not going to be a fucking naked girl. But at any given time, maybe there's
you
a girl.
You still can't open the shit I say. I've learned that with you. Like, I do not – if it comes from you, man, I do not open it in public because
– that's a good point, too. Like, you were talking earlier. Like, maybe it's not a girl sending her vagina. Maybe it's me and you saying some fucked up shit. And I don't want that person who I'm just getting to know that side of you yet. Or know that side of my sense of humor yet. Like, even, we got a group text going all the time, too. There's certain things like, oh, you can't read that shit from below. Like, that's what I'm also saying. Do you think you feel like that some people automatically assume the worst? Like, oh, my God, some girl just sent him her fucking tits. Or do I got to sit there and be like, oh, my God, some dude just sent... oh, hey, girl, you're looking fucking good tonight. Do you think that's human nature to automatically go for the worst-case scenario?
I think a lot of this stuff does have to do with how comfortable you are with yourself. Not to say, listen, there's a difference between being confident and cocky, right? If you're comfortable with yourself and you're comfortable with your relationship, then you may not think the worst of it. Now, Snapchat does have the reputation, right, of being god-awful, like sending, you know, dick pic, tit pic, and stuff like that, right? From people who aren't in relationships. If you're in relationships, it's fine, right? But I think that there does need to be a certain comfort in the relationship. And if you feel that some other dude sending this girl, right, that type of stuff, it depends. If it's unsolicited and she, right, if we use that situation, right? Or it could be a guy with a girl, you can take whatever sex you want. Or if a guy is with another guy and a dude sends him a picture of his dick, for example. I don't mean to be profane, I'm sorry. It's how they handle it.
I mean, this is strictly dickly, so it's okay. We're doing it.
It's all on how they handle it. See, to me, I'm more of a reaction-based person. Not to say that I only believe in reaction. I mean, you should be proactive enough to make sure that people know if you are in a relationship or... even if you're not in a relationship and you're not open to those types of messages, that they should not be sending them to you, right? So let kind of put it out there in a way so that people know not to be sending that to you. And if they do send it to you, make sure you control them.
I like that. I like that. It's a good
and,
talk.
And that's my honest opinion. Which leads to me, I went out, I don't know when, I can't even remember. Like this weekend's been a whirlwind. But I went out and I actually had a car. I met somebody and we were sitting down having a conversation. Like I was out, you know, you go out, you have a drink and sometimes you're sitting and waiting for a drink or something and somebody's sitting at the bar near you and you know, you end up having a conversation. And it ended up, I don't know how we got into the conversation, but we got into the conversation of something similar to this, right? But in the conversation goes with like, if you're a dude and you send a dick pic to a girl and she responds to that, like, again, like not in a relationship, right? If you're in a relationship, it can be like flirtatious and you can take it into that type of life. I'm talking like strictly like, okay, well, you're a guy and you're a girl and maybe you're like you're interested in each other and out of the clear blue, this dude sends a dick pic to you or he finds out who you are and sends a dick pic to you. And the girl kind of responds to it and like falls into it. And I'm like, well, I was talking to the girl, but I'm like, well, what type of girl is that? I wouldn't even want to be with a girl like that anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference between finding someone you want to hang out with just to have sexual relations with, again, which with you and, well, with me, I know. I don't know about you, and I'm not saying you do. I have no desire for that stuff. Like, you know, I've been and done everything in my life where I don't want, like, a fuck friend.
That's a good point, because for me, you know me. You know me really well. When I'm single, I'm very single, and I've been caught up in that. You know how I used to do stuff with the younger girls. That, back then, doing that to them, there's nothing like, you know, a young girl sending something, or I would send something back, and you had that little fun and games. Cause like you, dude, we've done it all. We've been around the block a million times. It got to the point where it's just like, oh great, another bush, another vagina, another set of tits. Like, that's nice. It's
so right. I haven't been around the block a million times. I've done a lot of things in life to where I realize exactly what's important.
That's what I was gonna get. But now for me, and just like you were hitting on, I honestly, Bilo, when a girl tells me I don't do stuff like that, that's a bigger turn on, because it's like, she's something special. She is saving that stuff for just for me, right? Like, I'm going to see her naked. And she doesn't, like, just send it out there to any guy. I like that now. Not that, because, again, I want a woman that I have, you know, respect for long term. But I find that more attractive than anyone out there who's like, if you easily sent me something, how many other guys is fucking seeing your box? You know what I mean? Now when someone's like, I don't do that shit, I like it. But when I, if and ever I do see it in person, you're saving that for me. That, I like that shit. That is a good topic. It's a good point. I think that's something that only certain guys get to at a certain age. And again, we use social media a lot differently than maybe people a little bit younger.
Well, again, then there's a different. I mean, again, if you're in a long-term committed relationship and you guys do the Snapchat and you send some of those inappropriate pictures, I do think that's okay. Because again, when you are in a relationship, it's a long-term relationship, and maybe you have already, you know, consummated the relationship, or you continued and you guys know you're serious with each other, then to get the pictures, okay. But if it's like, oh, this is what you're going to get tonight, then I would just, honestly, I'd be like, see you, bye. Like, you know, like, I don't have time for that game type stuff. And at our age, you know, which we'll talk about later, date to be named, if you're a 40-year-old girl sending pictures to a dude saying, hey, this is what you're going to get before you even meet them, what type of fucking chick are you?
She's marriage material. You know, that's a wife for sure.
That's all I have to say, and we'll move on from that topic because, like, yes, we'll just move on from that
topic. I agree. I think that also comes with age, too. It's like, yeah, there's certain women, like, are you really still sending vagina pics? Just like me, my age, am I still sending dick pics? It's like, I hear you, man. I hear that. It's a good way to end.
Again, outside of your relationship where you're trying to keep your relationship, or not trying to keep your relationship spiced up, but you're adding spice to your intimate relationship. I am not talking about that. I think that's 100% okay, because it adds a level of intimacy to your relationship. Period. The end. Merry Christmas.
On the line, staying within strictly dickly, let me ask you something here, something I've come across and I thought about, because I think you, if anyone, you and I can relate to this topic, right? Because we're known, I'm not saying now, but we're known, we're passionate guys. We could be hot-headed. We're very, you know, standoffish sometimes when it comes to people. However you want to approach it, we run like that. You've calmed down a lot. I've calmed down a lot.
I want to pause for a moment, because I did speak with my mother the other day. Like, we went, I hung out with my family. And my mother actually said to me, she said, my whole family said, they said that ever since you moved out of the country, because I went back to the country that you're in and visited, they said, you are the most relaxed I have ever seen you in your life. And I'm like, yep. They're like, nothing even bothers you. You're like very just happy. And I said, exactly. So yes, I'm not hot-headed, very relaxed and very content and happy. So go ahead. I just wanted to throw it out there.
No, I get feedback along those lines too, that I went through over the past year, I've changed a lot too. I think that I learned to appreciate people more. I learned to slow things down a little bit. And I don't, like, you know me, we talk about this. I want, if I ever have a shot to get into heaven, I want to be a better person. So I think somehow I'm becoming better. I think there's a lot of things happening in my life too that also making me a lot happier these days.
You know what will make a big difference, which I realized made a big difference in me outside of, like, relationship stuff, right, is volunteering. And people have always told me that. Like, I've been doing a lot of volunteering, and it did have a huge impact on me, because it's not almost, I found it to be very fulfilling in a serious nature. I'm not, like, picking on people, because I've done stuff with, like, the homeless. I've done stuff with, you know, single moms who were abused and stuff like that. Like serious stuff. I'm not like, it's not anything like, oh, you're trying to get with a single. That's like, you hear some of these stories, you see some of these people, and you take a step back and you go, you want to know what? I'm appreciative a bit more for what I do have, right? It's like you learn to, you know, some of these people are very happy that you give them a pack of, you know, a bag of rice that feeds six people. And you're just like, wow, like you're really excited to get, you know. And again, it's unfortunate. I'm not trying to pick on them. I'm just saying like their level of appreciation for something so simple does kind of, you know, humble you in a manner. And it makes you a little bit more appreciative. And I think it calms you down. And I actually become more fulfilled. And I've actually signed up for more volunteer stuff because of it. Because I do want to give back more to the community. I mean, I think, you know, maybe I've matured, but I suggest that you do that. And if,
well, this is not Strictly Dickly. This is that topic we need to find a segment name for. When
I'm sorry, I go back to Strictly Dickly.
Team Bilo gets sentimental, maybe.
Well, when you have a relationship, I think the other thing too is to be able to volunteer with the person you're with. I think that adds to a relationship, you know, the availability of being able to do that type of stuff for somebody, where a lot of people don't. A lot of people will volunteer and do it on their own, which you can do on your own. Like, you should have some parts of your relationship. Is this Strictly Dickly talking about relationships or no? We're not in that segment.
Yeah, but you took it down a sentimental path, and I was going to go down a more, like, I don't know, guyly, manly, vicious path. So I got to try to find out
what right. back to that. Go back to the guyly, manly, vicious path, and we'll talk about it. Man, look at me.
So, not the way we are now, but the more about fucking the way we used to be. How do you react, or how would you react, and what's your recommendation now, because we've been through some stuff, when you're out and about with a lady friend, and say like a game, for instance, if you're at a Sox game, and let's just say there's some guys in the back being loud, talking too much shit, or maybe somebody spills a drink on you or the lady. I'm not saying hard set examples, but how do you feel about that? Again, you're not with your buddies, you're with a lady. One, do you want to react the way you normally react, where possibly you would knock somebody out, or do you want to get loud and push and shove and swear, or do you have to be very pulled back because you have her with you, or is there a point in the relationship that you could say, all right, she knows me well enough now, it's okay if I knock a motherfucker out? When you're in that environment, how do you handle those situations? Like, what would you recommend to the audience?
I think situation dictates how you handle that, right? I have found and I have learned that sometimes, again, I do believe that there are accidents, right? Again, if somebody spills a drink on you, there are accidents. Again, if you're talking about Fenway Park, for example, those seats are so fucking small.
Yeah.
That it's very easy if you're walking back with a beer, right? Again, unfortunately, like, accidents happen. You can't blame somebody, because I've spilled beer on people before, completely accidentally. But if somebody's being obnoxious or rude, you know, I think situation will dictate what you can do, but I've also found, and we've experienced this firsthand, sometimes sitting back, and you saw me, and talking and becoming like befriending them can help mitigate the situation, and they kind of get the point, and you start talking to them to where they either quiet down or they kind of pull you in, and then they're not as obnoxious around you.
You did a good job at that. I wanted to go the other way.
I know you wanted to go the other way, but that's what I'm saying. I think that at this point in my life, that's how I more handle a situation. But you damn well know that if I need to, I don't have that. I shouldn't say I'm not a violent person, but I do not know, you know, I do have that like thing in the back of my head that doesn't work, right? That on off switch that, you know, but again, it takes me a very long time to get there. Like, for me to get to that point now is like, you know, I just would run for the hills. But like you had witnessed, like, now my philosophy is try to mitigate it. You know, if somebody's bothering somebody or something, give them the chance, right? Say, hey, listen, can you please not do that? You know, if you're going to talk like that or whatever while we're here, wait till we leave or something. Like, I think you should give people a chance, because sometimes they may not know that's bothering you. And sometimes, like, when we go out, you know, you have a couple of drinks, you may get loud, you may not realize how loud you are.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and if somebody says, hey, can you guys please quiet down? Hey, not talk like that, because it's really loud. You know, I've had that happen to me, and someone said that to me very politely, and I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bother you. So there are cases where I believe that it may not be intentional.
No, that's a good point, because when that's happened to me, like, again, no matter how much fun I was having, how worked up I was, somebody said that to me, I never would say, go fuck yourself. I'd be like, oh, they approached me that way. Obviously, I didn't recognize how loud or maybe how rude I was being. I also will tone it down too. But there are those ones that you do that you may get that go fuck yourself back. At that point, that gives you the right for conflict, right? Know what I mean? Like, you tried the nice, very PC way.
Something like that, then you can escalate, you know, to the next level in the escalation chart.
I agree. The rate right to verbal push of the shoving, or it's like, let's just end this real quick and here it comes, motherfucker. Well, again, you got a lady with you, so
I shouldn't say too much because I don't want anyone to, you know, try to use it against me because my thoughts. It doesn't mean I would do it, but I, you know.
Oh, again, we're speaking
hypothetical. I had a philosophy growing up in high school, right? That if you, and again, it's different now than it was, you know, 47 years ago when I was, you know, graduating high school because I'm 60 now. If you were going to get into a fight, everyone was like, oh, meet me in the parking lot at 3:30. Remember those days, you know, and after school and 3:30. If you're going to come up to me in the hallway and I think there's going to be an altercation and you're going to say, meet me in the parking lot, I'm just going to fucking hit you.
You don't wait. Exactly.
I don't believe in waiting. Yeah, no, it's like you don't give someone the opportunity. Or if somebody gets in your face, like I firmly, again, you have to be very confident you're going to get into level. I mean, I've had conversations with people where I didn't think that the altercation would be escalate that quickly. But if I really felt like with the body language and stuff like that, that somebody was going to come up on me, I would probably attempt do all I could to minimize the risk of damage to my body.
I agree. You know this, you know me. Like same way.
So that's how I feel. I mean, with a woman, guy, to me it doesn't really matter who you are because I think people should respect other people. Period. Right. And I do think that how you handle a situation. Again, if you're with a lady friend, you want to use the lady friend because we're talking about strictly dickly. I like that name, by the way. I have to. You and I will talk about that as well next week, because I have some strictly dickly experiences to talk about. Just kidding, by the way. I think if you're with a lady friend and she sees like an altercation like that, if she sees you try to handle it in the mature way or the best way that you need at that time, I think there should be some level of understanding. You know, because some people want to worry about, okay, well, the ladies can say, oh, this guy's a hothead and stuff like that. If you want to use that situation, right? Or if you're with a boy, you know, he's your boyfriend. You know, it's, again, okay, it's like turn around and take a look at it and say, you know, I tried to talk to them. They didn't take it. You know, it kind of escalated. They did this. And, you know, then I had to, you know, kind of be a dick. Yeah. You know, it's again, if it's that bothersome, I'm not saying go out of your way. Like if somebody's doing something stupid and it's not bothering you. I mean, I've actually, you know, the stories that I've actually interfered where I saw somebody bothering somebody else, by the way, as well. It's not only, it's not only where someone's bothering me, but I've actually been places where I've witnessed somebody bothering somebody else who wasn't or couldn't defend themselves, if you follow what I'm saying. And mm-hmm. I would intervene and just say, hey, just, you know, why don't you just knock it off or something like that. So I think it goes both ways. And I think even if you're a lady and she sees that, if she sees that you're defending somebody else, I mean, let people be people. That's, I think our society sucks when it comes to that stuff.
No, you're right. There's a time and a place. Sometimes you do have to escalate. I do agree at a certain point in age in your life, you try to de-escalate it by talking to that person. If that doesn't work, you're entitled, regardless if you're on your own with a lady friend or with whoever, to solve the problem you think you have to, if because you feel like something could happen and you want to act before any damage is done to you. You and I would totally agree with that. And that's why I wanted to bring that up, segueing over.
Is there a situation that you have to talk to me about? Do you like my back scratcher too, by the way?
No, there wasn't a situation, but there was just like I was thinking like if something, you know me, I'm trying to get better at that. I'm always on the defensive if there's like somebody around at a game where I'm at and like unintentionally.
Yeah, you have this like, it's almost like you have PTSD, but you've never done anything. Right? You know what I mean? Like you have PTSD from like maybe. Like, you know, maybe some other, I'm going to give you a, we're going to start getting into like, we're going to have like the therapy corner and I'm going to give you therapy because you are just like, you know, you're a lot better now, but you used to be angry. And that's what I'm saying. And some of that stuff is like, you know, you have like this anger and like, you just need to just let loose and be happy.
Oh, I know. That's why now I don't get into situations. That's why I didn't tell you a story tonight. Like, I was at Fenway Park then at B-Lo and I fucked up four dudes. I think I'm looking at a case. That's not how it went down. So I'm proud of myself as I'm maturing. Anyway, from the shriek to strictly dickly, bringing it over to another segment tonight that you all know. We finally gave it a name. It's not a big name, but it's T and B-Lo Get Topical, where the two of us find something out there, bring it in, and we give our take on it only the way T and B-Lo can. And I have something for you.
I have a question. When do we talk about your dating app situation?
Is that part of the show? That's a part of Strictly Dickly, I would have said.
Well, I want to go back. We haven't spoken about that. What's the latest?
It's going to be the same as the last one. Things are going really well.
So are you now ready? I'm going to ask this question so that everybody can hear. Are you now in what I would call a committed relationship? What I mean committed, It doesn't mean exclusive. What I'm saying is, I'm going to just do it this way. Do you, because again, relationship status or money, do you have interest in pursuing anybody else? Are you focusing all of your interest on one particular person?
Jesus.
And you don't have interest in talking to other people. It doesn't mean you're in a relationship. It just means you're focusing on somebody.
That was me texting Beal. Shut the fuck up.
What did you say?
That was me texting Beal. Shut the fuck up. Do you want me to answer?
Yes.
Do I have any desire to pursue anything with anyone else? Right now, no. Would I say I'm in a committed relationship? I would say that we're not looking for a label. And also, I promised, because the Tea Podcast and Tea Blog have been coming up and as a part of our conversation. And I wanted to give full disclosure about what I do with the screenwriting, what I do with T-Blog and the T-Podcast. And I want this person to feel comfortable reading about me or listening to me. But I also promise that as we get more comfortable in whatever it is we are doing, that I would not give up. Because again, it's not just me here talking about my life. If I'm talking about who I'm dating, inadvertently, I'm talking about them. It was one thing when we were just talking about girls that I was casually swiping on and maybe dating. If this is something that I want something long-term with, someone I want long-term with, I don't really want to get to too much detail right now on the podcast, but hopefully we get comfortable enough eventually and I will. So I'm definitely not swiping. I'm definitely not looking further. It's not a label. I won't say it's a committed relationship. We like where we're at and we like how things are going. I think we both agree to that. And we're going to see how this goes. Is that a good enough answer?
Yes.
Excellent. Can we move on from Strictly Dickly? Yes. We're moving on to
TB. I'm satisfied with that answer, and I understand. I'm not going to pry anymore. I was just curious to know your status.
Good. Well, I appreciate that, because you, I know, as one of my closest friends, you are looking for my happiness and the reason why we started all this. There was a good intent to get me back into the dating game.
Well, no, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You're using a dating app because the whole purpose was to meet somebody. The whole goal is to meet somebody. If you met somebody and you want to slow down and settle down.
Yep. Totally. Anyway, we are now getting over to Team Belo Get Topical. So I got something for you to start off. And if you got any topics you want to jump in after this, I think this one may close out the show, see how far we go. It's a good one. It's different. It's not quite political, but it's something that I was like, it's been out there for a while, but there's stories behind it. There's all the different stories, and I really want to get your take on this. And you may have heard this. There are these, I think those three or four girls in high school who run track. And there were transgendered girls that they were competing against. So they were formerly boys who now identify themselves as girls. And they're beating these girls on the track. And these girls filed a lawsuit saying, you're denying me an opportunity to get my numbers up, to stop placing higher because I'm getting beat by these transgendered women, and I am not going to get scholarships. I'm not going to get into these good schools. Scholastically, when they look at something from like that point of view, you want to be a high performer. You want to get the good grades. You also athletically want to be the top of your game. So they came out and they filed a class action lawsuit. So here's my take on this, right? This opens up a couple of cans of worms, and I'm going to get your take on it, then obviously I'll react to it. One, should, regardless if it's a boy or a girl, should a boy identify themselves as transgender and compete on a girl's team regardless of the sport? Should a girl identify themselves as a boy? Could they compete with boys? Because this opens up the age-old question. Are men more sometimes a bigger, larger, more muscles, physically fit? They could probably compete at sports outright if it's a boy versus a girl. Some could say that the boy may win more. So what does that mean when a boy wants to be a girl, whether that's what they recognize or not, if they start competing on women's sports? Should that be allowed, Belo?
I do not think so, and I'll tell you why. I think, and again, I don't care what anybody identifies as, because there's the thing called genetics, right? It's a fact that men and women are genetically different. For example, a woman gives birth, a man does not. A man can feel like he's a woman. He's not giving birth. What are you going to say? Oh, you're discriminating against me because you tell me I can't give birth? I think when it comes to transgender, I think people know that men and women are different physically due to hormones in their body. Therefore, they shouldn't be able to compete. Now, I do think that if they want to compete, they should make a class for people who identify as the opposite sex and put them all in a pool if they want, and I don't care. For example, you have the Boy Scouts and you have the Girl Scouts, right? Now, girls can join the Boy Scouts and boys can join, wait, girls can join the Boy Scouts and boys can join the Girl Scouts, mm-hmm. right? It's called Boy Scouts, it's called Girl Scouts. By allowing the other gender, right? I'm not saying, you know, allowing the other gender to join. What about the people who want to join just be boys? Why don't you create a Boys and Girls Scouts? You follow what I'm saying? Like, this is what people, like, do another group. And everyone's so worried about offending everybody. Just say, you know what? We're going to give you the opportunity to join. But what we're going to do is we're going to make a new mixed class of whatever it may be. So to go to your point about the athletics, right? I think there should be a mixed class. And the reason why I'm saying it is I'm not saying that they shouldn't be able to compete. I'm saying like people should compete with like people because it's the equivalent of somebody taking performance enhancing drugs because it is a well-known fact that men have more testosterone than women, which gives them a competitive edge on certain muscle events. That's why men can lift more weights than women. That's why men can typically, you know, outperform in most cases. Yes, there are some women who can perform better than men because the men are out of shape. But if I'm saying if you take two of the same class of athlete in this particular instance, put them in the same event, that man is going to have the upper hand most of the time, right? Yep. I think right out of the gate, the woman has a handicap. Well, the man should have a handicap. And that's what I'm trying to say. So my answer to your question is, I don't care what anybody does or feels or how they want to feel, but I think we are so focused on not offending that one person that we forget about the entire class of people that are in that existing organization or sports team or whatever, because we don't want to offend one. We're going to piss off 300 and just ruin the entire organization, in my opinion, because now it's going to be unfair. People are going to be pissed off. There's going to be a lot of fighting. Just create a separate group. And you're not discriminating. No. If people get offended because you, because I remember that we talked about this before, the story with the bathroom. If somebody's going to get offended because you created a group for them to compete with other people, screw them. Oh, I can't compete with girls because I feel like a girl. I mean, the reality is you were born genetically a man. You have genetic differences than a woman.
Yep. Yep. I agree. So with that said, that's a good point. I didn't think about the mixed class. I think that's a good solve for that. But you're right. We're so focused on worrying about how we're offending someone. But it's like, what about the people already in that group? Like, why are my feelings, if I'm a girl who runs track, why am I not being taken into account? Like, I was born a woman. I am competing as a woman. Maybe I've been running track for like 3-4 years, all through high school. I'm looking at scholarships. And now you come in and you maybe started as a boy the first 2 years, but now you're competing. You're taking something away from me. We're not worried about the original group that was in that. So you're right. To not offend everyone, let's have a mixed class. Let's just say, yeah, boys can compete as boys, girls can compete as girls. And if we have transgender, you could basically compete in this mix because you're right. That's key right there. The testosterone that leads to more muscle mass.
But that also opens up. And again, I'm not limiting it to just transgender, right? When I say transgender, somebody who identifies as the other sex. But if a woman... And again, you do have some women who are very competitive and can compete at a male level, right? Okay. If they want to join to a different class because they want to have a different level of competition, they can join this mixed class, right? I call it a mixed class where it's like anybody can join, right? It's like the XFL, right? You know, they didn't want to follow all these rules of the NFL, so they went to the extreme football, right? You can join a league that does that. Therefore, like I said, go back to the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. There's the Boy Scouts, there's the Girl Scouts, and then there's the Mixed Scouts, right? So that people who want who want to join that group and have like the mixed and shared, they can. And to me, again, that's what's offering the options to people is having those three classes, right? It's not saying, well, you're discriminating because, you know, a girl can't join the Boy Scouts. No, we're not discriminating. We have another alternative for them where they can join a mixed group where it can be co-ed. So it's not discrimination. It's allowing them to join something, but also allowing the other people to join something they want to join.
So let's look at that mixed scouts. So let's take the sports aside. That's a good point, right? So say you're a parent and basically you have these mixed scouts. So you're a parent and you have a little boy who identifies as a little boy still. And you're another group of parents. You're two parents who have a little girl who still identifies as a little girl. Then the third group of parents, you have a boy that identifies as a little girl. So if you're somebody that wants to support and do that, that mixed group could also put in the little girl that was born a girl, could put in a little boy that was born a boy, and could put in this little boy who recognizes herself as a little girl, and they all could be in the skull together. It doesn't have to just be the ones that recognize themselves as an opposite sex. You could have the ones that are born and still feel like a boy, or born and still feel like a girl, now also be in that group with them. Because as parents, if you also want to expose your kids to transgender kids or gay kids or bi kids, you could put straight kids in there too, or ones that were born and stayed the same race. Like that mixed group, that mixed class also identifies, let's get back to sports. You could also have transgender people competing on that track, but maybe if that boy doesn't want to compete in the boys division, can go into the mix one, two, and now you can have the girls that don't want to compete in the girls come into that.
That's what I was saying before, that group is not a transgender group. That mixed
not transgender
group
only. It could be boys and girls.
That's
and
what I was saying. If a girl wants to join that group because she wants to join with mixed sexes, right? Whatever you identify genetically or the like.
That one person, that girl now identifies as a boy that goes out there maybe at 5'6", 5'7", a buck 10, a buck 20. The first time they get fucking drilled and tackled and get fucking hurt, what does that say about the NFL? What does it say about the sport? People are going to be like, we never should allow it to begin with, blah, blah, blah. It's like,
well, that's
there's
that's
also
what I'm saying.
Safety
something
concerns
like that,
too.
Something like that, because here's my thought process on that, right? I'm going to be very frank. If you can compete in that case where they don't have options, right? You know, they did try the Women's Football League, but if you can compete at the level of the sport that it is, then you should have the option. If you make the team, you make the meaning. Just because you're a woman, you shouldn't make the team, right? If it's the NFL, right? Because if you're looking at and the only reason I'm saying this is because a man can be cut from that if he does not meet the criteria to be on a team.
Exactly. Yep.
That's all I'm trying to say with that.
He got cut because you're right. He got cut because he could not perform at that level. Not because he's just a man. He got cut because he not could perform. So you want
to
talk about that?
A woman
then the woman
not
needs to perform at that level.
The woman should not be able to be in the NHL or the NFL if they cannot compete at that level. If they can compete at that level, then they're less likely to get hurt because you and I both know that if you take somebody like Rob Gronkowski going after a little 5'2" girl, adults, right? So start working with kids and stuff and teach them how to handle rejection. Because when I was growing up, it was true. You know, second is the first last, right? So, you know, but what you did was every time it was like, okay, well, I want to be in first place. So I'm going to try harder. It's okay. I gave my best. I did my best. I'm still good. This person beat me. It's okay. I'm not going to kill them. I'm not going to, you know, Nancy Kerrigan, breaking the kneecap.
Tanya Harding.
You know, it's like, you know, you just learn and say, okay, well, you know what? Brush yourself off. Take a look at the video. If there's a video, you know what you did wrong. Work on it and improve that. And the next time, go back out, try twice as hard, and then maybe you can beat them, right? No, we don't do that. It's like, oh, well, you try hard. Here's a trophy. You showed up. I mean, I look at some of this stuff and I'm like, you know what?
I don't want to go on that topic again. It was more about the transgender in the classic category.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you for reeling me in.
Because I'm reeling you in because Hans is reeling us both in.
I quit now. Good. Hans is here. I quit. I am now officially turning in my resignation.
I don't want to rehash other topics. People could go back from last week. But the point was, as we got topical this week, about the transgender in sport and where does that work. So I think
we
got
up for these segments, right? I just want to make sure I know what these segments are. We have Snap.
The Shriek. That's the name.
Strictly Dickly, which is dating experiences or dating points of view
from
on separate topics. And then we have an opinion column where we can talk about whatever.
Can you use the names? Hold on. The reason why we're giving the names is because we've already been talking about all this shit. So you're going backwards. We always topical. We always did the streak. We always talk about dating and social media.
I don't know what the fuck the name it is.
The name. The Streak. Then it goes Strictly Dickly, and it goes T and B will get topical. Those are our segments. That's what's going to be the name in the podcast.
We have three segments. The Streak.
But now. It's not always going to be those same topics. Beal, this is why I'm the host of the other fucking co-host. Because Samir is crazy.
Speaking of T and B, they'll get topical. I watched the 3 episodes of Black Mirror.
All right, that's great. Send us the next one because Hans is still playing. And we got a lot of time.
Hi, Hans. Bye, Hans.
All right, Pilo, do this next week.